The question for us this morning is, what is the relevance of the resurrection? Why do we gather on this day? What does it matter that a man rose from the dead 2,000 years ago? Well, that man was the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the numerous reasons we can give why the resurrection is relevant to our lives in 2021, of the many reasons, it is the vindication of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is who he said he was and is, and he did what he said that he would come to do. What was prophesied in the Old Testament, what was verified in the New, and the pinnacle event that we look at, what all of Christianity is based on, is the event of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is vindicated. He's not just a common criminal. He's not that at all. He is holy God. He never sinned. He is God in humanness. He is the sovereign King, the Lord over everybody and everything. To be in rebellion to him is treason, and he is coming back again. That is verified in the resurrection. The second thing, and the main thing I'd like to talk about today, is what he came to do. The resurrection is verification that what Jesus did on that cross for us 2,000 years ago indeed is effective to cover our sin and purchase us a place in heaven for all who trust him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are told, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. But Christ has been raised, and that resurrection verifies that his death on the cross buys us that place in heaven, total forgiveness of sin. I'm going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses. The entire chapter is, we could call it the resurrection chapter. So I want to introduce it to you, if I could, this morning, and give you as family devotions to go home and prayerfully read the rest today. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. By the way, in your bulletin, you have an insert with these words on it. I encourage you to pull that out. The words in bold are the scriptures. The words not in bold and smaller print are comments. And so we'll be on the front side. We'll refer to the back side momentarily. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word that I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared. And we'll talk about that appearance in just a moment. Let's go through this if we could, phrase by phrase. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. I make known to you, by the way, this was written about a little more than 20 years after the resurrection. No time to put myths into order, that kind of thing. Everybody who verified the resurrection, none of them recanted. They all went to their deaths or endured great hate and hardship because of never recanting. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. Gospel means good news, and that's what the resurrection verifies, is there is incredible good news, very pertinent in a time where we're more alerted to death than ever with COVID-19. There is life after death because of the resurrection. Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. And so the gospel is good news. It was preached, and we can share it, and we should. It was received. They placed their faith in it, those believers, and we should as well. On it we can stand. We can build our lives on the gospel. By it we are saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sin. Saved from the wrath of God, the punishment of God on our sin. We are saved if, and this is huge, we hold fast to the word, unless we believe in vain. There is the type of faith that we can call intellectual assent, just believing the facts, like we believe that lifeguard stand is there and could hold us up. But we're not holding fast to that lifeguard stand right now. We're sitting in our chairs on the beach. And if you were told that in a few minutes a great wave would come and the only way you could be saved from being swept away is to get on that lifeguard stand, some would go, I believe it, and stay seated on the sand. Others would climb up and hold fast to the stand. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is asking us, of us. Not to just intellectually believe that all of this is real and then go on about our lives, but to hold fast to Christ. He is Savior. He is Lord. He is our lives. And so, what is this gospel that we are to hold fast to? Well, it is of first importance. It's the most important thing in the Bible. The entire Bible points to it. And this is the gospel. Christ died for our sins. What does that mean? Flip over, if you would, to the back side of your sermon guide. What does it mean that Christ died for our sins? The resurrection is relevant because it verifies this one great truth, the gospel. Here's the big idea. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself bore our sins on his body on the cross. That's the big idea. Now, what does the word sin mean? It's not very, well, it's not used a whole lot in our society. We don't like the word. But it's used a lot in the Bible. It's used a lot in the passages we're looking at today. Sin is disobeying God in thought, word, or deed. God's given to us two great laws. Love him with all of our ability and love others as we love ourselves. Those are the two greatest laws in the Bible. That means we're to value God all day long, every day, to be thinking about him. That's the greatest commandment. How are you doing with that? How am I doing with that? If we're disobeying that, we are disobeying the greatest commandment in the Bible, and we are the worst of sinners. And that's you. And that's me. And love others. Jesus gave us 10 commandments in the Old Testament. First four to do with loving God. The second's to do with loving one another. One of them was don't murder. Jesus said in his commentary on murder in Matthew chapter 5, whoever says you fool to another person has committed murder already in their heart, is guilty enough to go into a fiery hell. Now, what are we saying with that? We're saying that God is holy. We say that all the time, but what does that mean? God looks on you or me on the way out of here when we say, you fool, when somebody cuts you off. By the way, that's going to happen. And we see, that's just fun. It's no big deal. God is holy. And that would be like you watching a gruesome murder. It's horrific in the eyes of God. And so you're a murderer. I'm a murderer, an adulterer, a thief, a liar. All of us are. We have thousands, millions of counts of sin on our record. And that sin separates us from God forever. That's the big deal about that word. So he himself bore our sin on his body on the cross. Notice Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's what happened when he bore our sin on his body. First of all, Jesus Christ released us from our sins by his blood, by what he did for us on the cross. Our sins have been released. It would be like somebody walking up to you, now that you've trusted Christ, saying, "This is the record of all your crimes against heaven, against God, against humankind. And you know you're guilty of all sorts of murder and every other thing, and you open the file, and there's nothing there." Christ released us from our sins by his blood, by his death on the cross. Second thing, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. In him we have redemption. You say, "Well, what happened to my sin? Why is there no sin in my folder now that I've trusted Christ?" You've been redeemed. Your sins have been paid for. Every sin will be punished, either on Christ or on you and me and whoever else does not trust Christ. Redemption. What does that mean? What happened to my sin? Somebody comes up on their cell phone and shows you a video. And on that video is a judge. And on that video is the file of your sin. And the judge renders the verdict. And the son of the judge comes up and says, "I will pay the penalty in Harry's place, in Sam's place, in Mary's place, in your place." And that's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus knew exactly who would trust him, and he paid the penalty of our sin on his body on the cross. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, that's death, by becoming a curse for us. Also, we have these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "He made him who knew no sin to become sin in our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Think about that. The one who knew no sin, holy God in humanness, Jesus Christ, became sin, took our sin on his body on that cross 2,000 years ago, that we might become the righteousness of God, that we might become as righteous as God is righteous. That's what the passage says. We call that in the Bible justification, being made forgiven and being made righteous. Now in your file is every act of love and sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ has ever done. It would be like you opening up the Islander and the Sun, or forget opening it, just look at the front page. You walk in public, you look at the front page of the Islander, you look at the front page of the Sun, and there's your picture as the greatest person to ever live on the planet, and your accolades are being sung. That's what happened to you when you trusted Christ. His good stuff was accredited to your account. Your sin has been accredited to his account. We call that the great exchange. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, fall short of going to heaven, and are justified, that means made righteous as a gift by his grace, his unmerited love, through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. That means Jesus satisfied the payment for your sin and my sin in full. And this is a gift that's given because of the cross and through faith. And one last note on what does it mean that Jesus died for our sin. Our file is gone, it's released. Our file has been redeemed by Jesus Christ. The price has been paid for our sin. We are made righteous by a gift of God. And lastly, Romans chapter 5, verse 10, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Reconciled, that means made friends. Not only are you completely forgiven before that judge, but now the judge is your best friend. That's God, and invites you to go fishing with him today, or whatever it is that's on your heart. He wants to walk with you and be with you as your best friend. That's reconciliation through the cross. So, back to our passage. Flip over again if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins. And that was according to the scriptures. We're told in the Old Testament that he is Messiah, and he would do exactly that. And that he was buried. What that means is he was stone cold dead. He didn't just swoon, he was dead. And verified by witnesses. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, giving verification of the gospel. And that was according to the scriptures. The scriptures in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before he came, spoke about an eternal Messiah, but also spoke about a suffering and dead Messiah. How can you have both? What a contradiction. And that contradiction was solved by the resurrection of the eternal King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he appeared. He appeared to witnesses, to Mary, and then to the women. Why? Because they matter a lot, and they're a major part of the church. And then to two disciples on a road to Emmaus, teaching them to follow scripture. And then to Peter, who denied ever even knowing Jesus three times, and Jesus returns to him in private conversation and restores him. And then to the 10 who forsook him and split when things got rough. And yet he returns to them and says, peace, verifying the reconciliation that he had won for them. And all of these folks never recanted. They all went to their deaths, or at least the ones that were the disciples, I should say, except for John. He was exiled and died in prison, if you will, on a penal colony. Peter leaves us with these words. These are my final words today. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is the first sermon given after the crucifixion and the resurrection, right there in Jerusalem. Right outside of Jerusalem is the empty tomb. This sermon is given. Nobody can produce the body of Christ. He has risen. He has appeared to many, including 500 at one time. And the crowd asks, what should we do about the resurrection and the cross? What do we do? Because it is certain God has made him Lord and Savior, this Jesus who they crucified. And we have these simple words. This is on the backside again of your sermon notes. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God's presence now and forever. Repent. What does that mean? This is the response to the message today. It's a change of mind. It's coming to a place where we're no longer going to just intellectually assent to all of this being, okay, so that's true, so what? No, it's everything, because Christ is everything. It's turning from ourselves, turning from religion, turning from every other thing to Christ himself. Saying, Jesus, you are God in humanness. You did die for my sin. I trust you as my Savior. You did rise again. I trust you as my risen King. My life will be built on you. You teach me, and I'm going to say yes already, to everything you want me to do, whatever it is. And I will give up anything that harms my relationship with you. I am yours. I trust you. Repent and then be baptized. That's to go in the water in front of a watching crowd and present the picture that I'm dying to myself. That's what happens when you go under the water. And when you come up out of the water, that I am alive for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to meet today, all who desire to trust Christ and be baptized. We're going to meet today at 12 o'clock, right here at the corner of this lifeguard stand, this corner, 12 o'clock today. And I don't know what the temperature is going to be. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to be baptized. Because the day, today is the day to trust Christ as your Savior and Lord. Move away from intellectual assent to say, Christ, I'm holding fast to you today and forever. Let us pray together. Father, we give you thanks for the privilege to be able to gather this morning. Thank you, Father, for the gospel. The gospel verified by the resurrection. Lord Jesus, we can't imagine what it would be, what it was for you, holy God in humanness, to bear our sin on your body on the cross. To pay the penalty of every vile thing we've ever said, done, or thought. And not obeying you in what we should think, say, and do. You bore and paid in full the price of, let's make this personal as you pray to him, the price of my sin. Jesus, thank you for dying in my place. Jesus, thank you for rising again, showing that you are victorious over sin and over death. Jesus, you went back into heaven 40 days later. Your word declares, and you are alive. You're on the throne. You're the sovereign king of every detail in my life. I trust you. I worship you. I want to know you. Work your perfect work in me and through me. Jesus, you are alive and returning, and I look forward to that day. I trust you. No turning back. I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.